Okay. I'm going to mute everybody now. Star six if you want to, participate, okay? Okay. Good. Okay. So the conference or the session has begun. The recording has begun. If you want to unmute, please hit star six so that you can contribute whatever it is that feels called to come through you. And what I want to do is I want to begin by all of us just taking a moment and breathing together, okay? So just everybody, if you will, just breathe in the deepest breath you can breathe in. Take a moment to pause at the top of that breath and then exhale the deepest breath you can exhale and take a moment to pause there. And let's do that in your own rhythm, in your own timing. Everybody breathe in and out at least three times, okay? And I'm also going to be tapping out my cortices, and anybody that knows how to tap out their cortices, please feel free to add that with your breathing, okay? So let's breathe. Okay, I'm slowly tapping out the cortices. They seem to want to go a little slower today. And it's interesting because just before the call, I started getting this inner shaking. I'm not even sure what that's all about, but it's almost like in my past, there was a tendency to when I had something really important to quote-unquote say or present, I would get a bit of stage fright. And it would show up as almost like if it was so important, if I was afraid it was going to be taken wrong or something, and I'm only giving you this example because this is how it feels right now, and it doesn't feel like me. It feels like it came on board with the energy of this call. So about 5 minutes before the call, I started getting shaky, like inside, like inner trembling, like there's something so important that wants to come out, and it feels bottlenecked, like it can't come out. So that's why I started out with the breathing. And so throughout this process for myself, I'm probably going to just keep taking some deep breaths until that trembling and that sensation kind of goes away. So we're going into, interesting enough, we're going into cellular level right now, and we're going into the mitochondria of our bodies. And if you read the post, or if you were on the call last time, or if you were in the session last time, you know that connective tissue was a big component of the first of the year's new moon call. And it was very much about working with the connective tissue at the physical level as well as the collective consciousness level. And it feels like there is a continuation of that, which is, it's kind of funny, for whatever reason the word continuum is coming to mind. And it feels like, actually it's interesting because it feels like that continuum energy. And there is actually a system out there called Continuum. It feels like it's going through an unweaving, unraveling at the connective tissue level, which also is talking about the connective tissue level for collective consciousness. And what I'm getting with that is that was part of the trembling. It was like there was a almost like an energetic adhesion binding up the collective consciousness and our own connective tissue to the degree of the trembling was coming, like something wants to come through, the energy wants to come through, and it's not able to do it. So that unwinding is going on as we speak, and it began just before this call. And I got sidetracked a little bit there because mitochondria came up, and mitochondria is very much about, in our cellular makeup, in our body, is very much about energy, about ATP production, about getting things moving. And it feels like that's on the physical level, but again, it's also on the collective consciousness level. And there's so much, like, it's interesting because I would call this energy like anxiety, but it's not. It's not anxiety at all. It's more of an excitement, more like this emphatic enthusiasm that's just waiting to explode. Explode is not the best word. Waiting to just burst open, come out. It's like, then there's like almost tears and angst because there's such a longing to just come out. There's almost like, come out, get on with it already. Get over this tendency to bind yourself up and hold yourself back. And then it just quieted down. That was really nice. And it's funny because it's like, yes, this is a wood horse Chinese astrology year. Wood green horse. And just so you know, I'm not an avid follower of Chinese astrology, so I'm not an expert on it by any means, but part of the energy of the horse that's coming through is get moving, get moving, get moving. And but it's kind of erratic the way it's coming through. It's coming through in a way that get moving, it's almost like, you know, you walk, you trot, you gallop, all of that energy. Yes, you weave, you're in and out. So there's this energy going on almost like that of a horse's journey through our fields, through our energy fields, through our bodies. And it's just disentangling a lot of the knotted belief systems that are very much about limitations, about restrictions, about impossibilities instead of possibilities, about blockages instead of potential, about control instead of allowing, control instead of harmonizing, control instead of embracing. So it's all of these control mechanisms are being challenged in our fields, in our lives, in our bodies. And many of them are there structurally for a reason, because we obviously want our muscles to have control, in other words, to keep our bodies upright and functional. And yet there has been a rigidity in that, and almost like the fascia has become glued together because it's become so rigid in its definition of strength that it's lost its pliability, its flexibility, its ability. It's lost its ability. And it's about calling on that ability and bringing it forth, and it's making me cry right now because it's like, it so wants to come out, these abilities. And it's like consciousness, the universe, God, whatever word you want to use, is calling for that to come out. It's like, come out now, come out and play, come out and be, come out and express, come out and share. Very much come out and play and come out and share and come out and be and come out and express. So then we're going to go to the brain. And at the brain level, it's like, as I go to the brain, the hypothalamus was the first thing that came up. And the hypothalamus is represented in Vedic astrology as our moon. And the hypothalamus also controls our autonomic functioning. But what I'm getting is kind of like, almost like my head is wobbling. It's like the autonomic functioning is doing its best to function, but it feels like it is disconnected from its source. That made me choke. It's disconnected from its source. It's not, but it feels like it needs a light. It needs a guide. It needs an awareness that points it in the right direction. It almost needs its compass realigned. Ah. Our compasses need to be realigned. And that also is in relation to the Earth and the planets and our solar system. So it's like everything has shifted dramatically. And so there is a sense of, ooh, there's something more, and there's a sense of I can't quite catch up to myself, and almost like a sense of like tilting, like swiftly tilting planet was an old book I read, and it's like that. It's like I can't quite get my balance. I can't quite get my bearings, and there is just a sense of I need my compass readjusted. I need my frequency aligned. I need to be realigned within my own sense of who I am and within my own sense of who I am in my relationships, including my relationship to the planet, but most and foremost with my relationship with myself and my source. There's a really good question that's asked often, and it's the question is, where are you sourced from? And a great deal of a fragmented aspects within our connective tissue and within our being has felt lost and has not felt sourced and has not felt supported and as a result has withdrawn and kind of hidden and kept itself small or fragmented or unable to follow through depending on what your individual dynamic is that's keeping you blocked. And this session is very much feeling like it's about integrating, further integration, as we talked about last time, to totally integrate those aspects of yourself and realign them in a way that helps them be, hear, feel, sense, even smell. In other words, sensually, energetically, harmonically integrate and connect and align. It feels like that's aligning right now. There's like this peace, like this calm, like this settling, much like sand settling to the bottom of the ocean or to the bottom of a glass. Sand settling to a bottom of a glass. So, actually, I just went on Facebook and saw that somebody had to disconnect because of poor reception. Is anybody else experiencing that? If you are, please *6 and let me know that. And yet maybe that is part of what's going on with the realignment. The connection is being reestablished and reevaluated and recontextualized into, like I said, more harmony. But it's got some static in the interim with the aligning. You have something to say? Sorry, thought Norman had something to say. We're going into the heart right now. feels better now. Actually, things are starting to settle down. I feel much less tension, much more ease in my body. And for those of you who don't know, my body often just expresses that empathically. I just feel things. So, calming down. It's quieting down. And so we're going back into the heart. And it just feels really peaceful there. But then it jumps right back up into the brain because it's almost like peace and stillness are so contrary to our way of thinking that breathing space is often filled in by, oh, can't have too much peace, can't have too much quiet, then that means there's too much static and that's scary. So, and from the heart's perspective, actually, from desires and even from functionality, if it were to totally be still, that wouldn't be good. So as the physiological aspect as well as the mental aspect, we're needing to balance a sense of breathing and a sense of space and a sense of allowing to open up that space and allow that quiet and allow that calm, because truly the space in between is where we connect. The space in between is where we meet ourselves. It's where we meet each other. It's where we meet our source. It's not that we're disconnected anywhere else, but it's where we actually become aware that we're connected. That's why meditation is so valued, because meditation is often what it takes, forced meditation, to actually bring you to that place where you can actually feel and listen and know you are connected. Know you are sourced. I keep losing my voice, which is interesting. So, that's almost comical, because then what came through is you're losing your voice because you need to be still. And so there is this dynamic of allow the stillness. And yet my dialogue right now is with Source to say, yes, I get that. And yet an empty recording would not feel too useful to most people. So, endorphins are coming in into the body, and almost like this frequency of laughter, like laughter in the silence, like that is so hysterical. So about finding humor as well, about learning to laugh and feel that those endorphins flowing through our bloodstream and getting our energy and our meridians moving in a way that is less erratic, less all over the place, less forced, more free. Free. So now we're coming into a consciousness of freedom. And it's hysterical because the song, an old Janis Joplin tune just went through my head. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And that is a very despairing attitude, at least as it was sung. And so there is a tweaking that needs to be done in our consciousness as a group and collectively and individually, that needs to be done in regards to what does freedom mean? Some more information may come in around that. And yet, we're just going to see. We're going to let it filter down into our consciousness as to what does freedom mean. And as I say that, more information is coming through. Freedom is not at all as we imagine it. We imagine so many hooks and so many limitations with freedom, which is fascinating. And so it's really about tapping into that freedom to be our unique selves and feel the connection to all of us who are being our unique selves. Because there is this sense of you have to give up everything to be free. You have to not participate in the world to be free. In other words, you can't acquire things in New Age thinking or in spiritual thinking. You can't acquire things to be free. And so many of us go about our lives not acquiring anything because we don't want to be bound to that. We want to be free. We want that free expression, and we feel limited by having these quote-unquote acquisitions are the words that are coming to mind. And so it's about tweaking that in a way that allows us to recognize the gifts in everything that we participate in, and also the integrity and the alignment around being honest with ourselves when we're receiving them as gifts or when we're manipulating our own sense of who we are and basically selling our soul because we're manipulating and doing things for an ulterior motive instead of plainly, clearly acknowledging we get something out of it too. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's important, as a matter of fact. And it's important to acknowledge that. It's important to own that. And then there comes the dynamic of who owns anything? And yet there is a sense of, and I don't know what I'm doing with my hands right now, but there's kind of like this unweaving of something that's going on right now. And we're unweaving some of these patterns. And who owns anything? And the ownership is coming from this place of awareness and an acknowledgement of like owning our own lives. In other words, being accountable, being responsible, being present in our own lives, fully present, so that we can receive whatever gifts are meant to come through us. And these gifts that come through us are meant to benefit us as well as others. It's not one or the other. It's both. It's one and another. One and another. One right after another. One and another. So it's linking, connecting us, not in a binding, limiting way. It's connecting us more in the way of connecting us. What I see is like somebody gave me an image today, and it was an image of a string of lights, and that's kind of what I'm seeing right now. It's connecting us in a way that lights us up, that we each shine our light in a way that we, every time we connect with another person, it makes us, it helps us be shine brighter, and it helps them shine brighter. So it benefits us, it benefits them, it benefits us all. So there is a sense of competition that oozes in our world. I say oozes because I see it right now, and excuse me, I'm going to take a drink in a minute, but it oozes in this image of like it oozes out like tar that's kind of become uncontained. So it oozes out through our matrix, through our collective consciousness, and divides, separates and divides into better, not so better. Better than, not so good. So it divides us into enemies. It divides us into competitors. It divides us into this or that. That energy right now, I'm seeing and I'm asking for energy to come in right now and kind of clean that energy. So it looks like that energy that's coming in, and initially the energy that came in was like a water energy, but that energy is not going to clean that tar-like substance of competition because it's kind of like a glue. So it almost needs, what we're doing is we're asking all of the elements then to come in and clean it up. And all of the elements are the fire, earth, metal, water, wood. And it's bringing in all of those elements to just kind of reform that matrix of competition that oozes through our world and reform it in a way that gets it moving to where it ultimately moves out in a way that allows collective collaboration where we're not constantly distrusting one another, where we're not constantly imagining that we own this and they own that and you can't overstep the boundaries. So it's like really opening up the pathways in our collective consciousness and in our hearts and souls and even in our physical body. So I see it as opening up our air pathways and opening up all of the pathways in our body, our air, our lungs, our bronchi, our bronchioles, our alveoli, all of those pathways, as well as the pathways of the fluids of our body. So it's about cleansing those elements, those pathways in our bodies, as well as in our lives and in our world. And it feels like it's going out and shifting in different pockets of consciousness. And what we're doing is we're asking for it to spread. We're asking for it to evolve and move and clear those blockages and connect those areas, those communities, those peoples, those lives, even those governments. I don't know where these governments are, but somewhere they're telling me there are these governments that are open to this, that opens up these channels in these communities and these pathways so that they connect. And so as they connect, then they build another matrix and they open up the channels and the pathways more and more and more. Oh, nice. So, then I'm seeing still more of this movement. Kind of like this ebb and flow movement. Much like the tides. And the sun and the moon, that's beautiful. So the elements, the Chinese five elements coming in, as well as the elementals, coming in and just kind of harmonizing, and it almost looks like this nice, graceful flow, and this rhythm is coming about, and it's starting with this ebb and flow, ebb and flow, ebb and flow, which takes me back to the heart. And light. So it's like bringing in light frequencies, working with the photons in our bodies and in our creation, in our world. So bringing in light, as we talked about earlier with those webs, they're like webs of light. But not webs of light in terms of sticky spider webs. It's more dynamic, Not that a spider web is not dynamic, it has its specific function, but it's more dynamic in so much as cleaning up the stickiness, cleaning up the glue that binds. And so it allows, again, more flow, more unwinding, more unraveling. And what I love is, as I'm seeing the unraveling, I love the ebb and flow because it's kind of a really beautiful, graceful energy. And the reason I love it is because what I'm seeing is, with all this unraveling, if it were to happen in our old erratic patterns, which there's still going to be more of that coming up, but with this energy, with this ebb and flow energy, it allows us to catch our breath and come back into our regular breathing cycle and into our cycle of life in a way that facilitates these pathways continuing to open, in a way that facilitates movement harmoniously, in a way that facilitates movement in a way that keeps it moving but doesn't continually create crisis. In our past, we've had so much trauma and so much crisis in our history on this planet and in our lives. Each of us has our own unique story, and everybody has their own set of traumas and experiences. And it's about helping to align us in a way that we don't have to keep recreating those, that we can move forward, as I think Talisa said, gracefully into our lives. And it doesn't mean we won't ever fall. It just means that we will more gracefully get up. Nice. Then, what I'm feeling is there's an energy on the outskirts. On the outskirts of what? I'm not sure. On the outskirts. There's an energy on the outskirts that is waiting to be welcomed in and invited in. And when I say that, it's kind of interesting because the first thought was, let's invite it in. The second thought was, oh, no, let's not. Let's keep it out there. And so that feels like the push and pull energy that goes on in our minds continually. The fight-flight response, not being able to relax enough to allow the parasympathetic system to just say, let's take a breath now, and let's look at that daffodil and smell it, instead of, daffodils, run for your life. So it's really about tapping into that ease and that grace and that ebb and flow that allows us to breathe easily, speak easily, be easily. This brings us to ease and dis-ease. That's another big thread in our matrix, dis-ease. But that comes a lot from incongruency. And then so there's an incongruency at the heart level. And I'm saying at the heart level, there's incongruency is at the heart level, but it's at the mental, emotional levels, this incongruency. So there is an incongruency between our heart emotional body and our heart mental body. They are at odds. The thinking body internally in the heart is continually looking for problems to solve, is continually looking for what's wrong out there. It's continually thinking in defense mode, defensive patterns, which is reflected in our world by constant armoring, constant wars, constant take up arms. And this is actually, that's an interesting phrase that's coming to mind, take up arms, because there's something in that in relation to that incongruency between the emotions and the mental body that within the heart, because it's really, when it says take up arms, what I see is open your arms and embrace. So it's really reframing that mindset, that immediate thought is so hardwired into our hard drive, in our entire being, and into our entire collective consciousness, that the any initial thought of somebody imposing on me, or somebody is taking from me, brings about that thought on some degree, on some level within our minds that says, take up arms, defend yourself, stand your ground. And stand your ground is not an incorrect thing to say, but it's not about coming at it from this defensive posture of I have to fight for everything in my life. It's stand your ground, in other words, be clear in your mind, be clear in your heart, be clear in your intentions, be clear in your expressions, be clear in who you are, and that's where that's where the rub comes. Be clear in who we are. How can we be clear in who we are? And the answer is unique to each person. And yet, it's not. It's funny because City Slickers came to mind with, here's one answer. There's only one answer for everybody. And there kind of is. And it's a simple answer, but it's not always an easy answer because there are so many voices in our heads and even blocking our hearts that are telling us we are something that we're not. And so it's really about tapping into that. It's interesting because as I'm talking right now, I'm hearing some cats outside, I think cats, or maybe it was a raccoon. Anyway, I'm hearing some animals outside expressing their not happiness with something or someone. And so what I'm getting at, I think, is the information is saying it's about being generous with yourself, being kind with yourself, being in integrity with yourself. And so it's really about the small acts of kindness that we talk about. It's about that love thy neighbor as thyself. It's about turning those small acts of kindness inward. And recognizing when a gift comes through you, not taking it so personally that you have to defend that gift as who you are, but embracing it as who you are in a way that lets it just radiate out of your cells and out of your pores and out of your mouth and out of your actions and into your life and everybody you meet. So, now I'm going into the vertebra, into the neck. And actually, as I'm getting into the neck, I'm feeling like, okay, there's a sense of stiffness there, a sense of restricted range of motion, restricted awareness, restricted ability. And so what we're doing is going into that tissue, into that neck, into that consciousness that allows you to look around, sense. So we're balancing your senses at that level to open up your ability to be flexible, be pliable, have a great range of motion, almost like that of an owl. In fact, an owl is coming in into the session, into the awareness, in terms of saying, ha, look, I can look all around. I can hear all around. It's like tapping into the to a full range of motion within the senses. And that is calling in a sense of pleasure. And that immediately causes a holding of the breath. That immediately feels like pleasure. What about pleasure? Okay, so that immediately causes up a restriction. It immediately causes up guilt and shame. And it immediately causes up, what? Almost a paralysis. So it's like when you think in terms of pleasure, it's like, I'm guilty. You know, the words guilty pleasures come to mind. So it's like pleasure is not something that is actually well received in this world. And it's on multiple levels, and I love it that the mystics are coming in right now, because the mystics, if you read Sufi mysticism, if you read the mystics and you read the poetry, they are so in love with God. They are so in love with life. And it didn't come without angst and without struggle, but it they get to a place where it's like, oh, the feeling, the sensation of this, there is nothing but this. And so there's a sense of losing yourself in the senses, and the mystics take it to the extremes, and it's beautiful, because if you lose yourself, you find yourself. And Norman just handed me a fortune cookie. So, and the fortune cookie says, at the touch of love, everyone becomes a poet. And that's really what it's all about, you know. We hesitate to use the word love because there's so many strings attached to our definitions of love. But not true love, not real love, not true real love. There are no strings attached to it. You totally lose yourself and you totally find yourself all at once. And there is no contradiction. There is no contrariness. There is such a sense of woe, such a sense of truth in that experience, that you begin to live it. And you begin to recognize that by living it, you are, I don't want to say setting an example, but those are the words that come to mind, you are showing others what is possible by expressing your own connection. So there is a call that is being emphasized that is saying, come out and play. Your heart is saying, come out and play. Come out and be. Come out and live and fully express yourself, and come out and celebrate. Celebrate your life. Live your life. And by doing that, you help others do the same. Wow. And it feels like that is how we end the session. And so what I'm going to do is unmute everybody. And I'm going to ask that before we all say goodbye, or before anybody says anything, that we just unmute and just breathe together and take three breaths together like we began. Okay? So I'm going to unmute now. And then after the breathing, please, if anybody has anything they want to share or anything they want to say, please do. Okay. Let's breathe. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome. There will be a recording this time around, and later I may post some things online. So.
Yeah, newmoonsession.com. Simply go there, and you can listen to the recording in a little bit, if not by tomorrow.
Okay.
And please spread the word and invite others to this beautiful session. And it is a happy new year, so please let's celebrate Mr. Wooden Horse and play a little bit, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Debbie.
Love you, too.